Coming up now, our next guest, Frank Schwab, Yahoo NFL. Thanks for this, Frank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing awesome. Having fun at Daniel Jones's expense from last night. That's pretty much everybody.
One of the plays of the year. You can kind of see it coming too. All of a sudden, you're like, it's like happening in slow motion where he's just kind of, somebody put it like, you know, you put the treadmill on the highest speed and you just like your legs just fall out from under you because it's too fast. Like, that's exactly what it looked like. And hey, it's kind of sums up the Giants season, doesn't it?
It's a great clip though, but it really gave me an appreciation for the butt fumble and how that one still has legs, really. You know, like, how great is moment when we're thinking about it almost 10 years later? And it's still great. It really gave me an appreciation for that moment because it still lives.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, there's a few Jim Marshall running the wrong way. It plays like that. You just don't forget very often. And you know that one. Yeah, I think we'll be talking about that one for a really long time. It's funny because like on that play, Daniel Jones was running basically as fast as Tyreek Hill's fastest time this year. He's a superb athlete. He's really, really good. And he just, I don't know what happened. I think it resonates because it's nice to know that even though these guys are elite athletes, sometimes they're like us.
Frank Schwab, our guest. Yeah, it's so true. And it also sums up the NFC East race pretty well and how embarrassing it is right now. The Eagles, they've got another win under their belt. Are they the favorite in this division from what we've seen from the Cowboys and how they just look like in total turmoil right now?
I guess so. I mean, it's the Eagles for, 55 minutes last night were losing to the New York Giants at home. I don't know, like, even how to, because people ask, well, who do you think is going to win East? I don't even know how you pick any of these teams. How could you feel remotely confident with any of these four teams? They're all terrible. They're all just, you're trying to pick the least terrible of the group. I've said the Cowboys just because at least I know they have playmakers on offense. I don't know if they got the offensive line and, Andy Dalton, obviously a downgrade, but at least they have brand name guys to get the ball to, and the Eagles have basically nothing. I can't sit here and tell you this is the strength of the Philadelphia Eagles, and the same goes obviously for New York and Washington. I don't know. It's just a bad, bad division, and I think seven easily wins it. And you know what? We seriously might be sitting here in January watching a 6-10 football team hosting a playoff game.
Well, how do you feel if you're a team in the NFC West, which is supposed to be the toughest division in football, or among them anyways? And if you're a Niners team or a Rams team that is fighting for your playoff lives, and then you see a 6-win team potentially make the playoffs, Frank, that's pretty embarrassing for the league.
Oh, absolutely. And, I get it. I don't mind division champions getting the playoff spot. I really don't. I think that if you're going to have divisions, it needs to count for something. It needs to matter. So giving them a playoff spot is just fine. What really bothers me is the hosting. It just is so unfair. It's so unfair that we're going to see potentially, you could see, let's bring up the Rams. The Rams could go 11-5 and have to play on the road at Dallas wildcard weekend if they're 6-10. I mean, this is not outlandish. It's not a crazy scenario. This actually could happen. And it's just so easy for the NFL to change that. I don't know why they won't. I don't know why they're so stubborn. It's such an easy rule change to say, you could be in the playoffs, say, hey, good for you, but you're going to have to go on the road every week because we're not giving you a home game. It'd be so easy to change that. And if anything, I hope that the 2020 NFC East, sometimes we need something really extreme to happen for the NFL to finally change rules. If there's one legacy the 2020 NFC East might have, it's that we might get some rule tweaks with who gets into the playoffs and who gets to host home games.
I like that we still have like such a polarizing opinion of, it seems like the football world does, of Carson Wentz. Is he bad? Is he good? I mean, what's he supposed to do with the cast of characters he's working with? And also just like the flex by the Eagles management to go through this every year. Like, hey, can we just keep trying to find wide receivers off the street to work with our high-end quarterback that we drafted at the top of the draft? Like, this isn't a new situation, but how do you evaluate Carson Wentz with the task that he has every week of throwing to guys named Joe Smith, it seems like?
Right, and if you just boy, in back-to-back drafts, they easily could have drafted DK Metcalf and Chase Claypool or T. Higgins. Instead, they draft J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who I think we all can probably assume is not going to be very good, and Jalen Reagor, who might be great, but we haven't seen him yet because he's hurt. So it's one of those, it's very slight in the NFL. Sometimes just one mistake can really haunt you. Like, imagine Carson Wentz with DK Metcalf right now. I mean, it would be a game changer. The thing about Wentz is it's weird to me because any evaluation of him, anything, good, bad, whatever, the excuse makers, whatever, we all come back to the same thing. Well, his teammates stink. Okay, well, that's fine, but there still needs to be something there. He can't be throwing blind interceptions into the end zone to James Bradbury like he did last night. That's on him. And look, I'm a big Carson Wentz guy. I thought 2017, you know, he should have been MVP that year. He got hurt. I thought he had a fine rookie year. I really, really liked him. And it's just kind of stagnated for him, maybe because of injuries, maybe because of guys around him. I just worry about him kind of falling into bad habits because those are hard to break. What if you're a quarterback and, you know, you're throwing off your back foot because you're getting rushed every time, and you're making bad decisions because you're trying to force things to receivers that, you know, probably shouldn't be starting for an NFL team. I think that carries over, and that really can screw you up as a quarterback long term. So I hope we don't get into that spot with Carson Wentz, and I really, truly hope that the Eagles put some guys around him and finally hit on some draft picks so we can get a clear evaluation of Carson Wentz. He could be a top five quarterback in this league or a bottom five quarterback in this league, and I'm not sure anybody knows the answer to that right now.
All right, Frank, we've talked a lot about some bad teams. Let's talk about some good teams as well now. In the AFC, it seems like the Chiefs are in tier one. They are the elite team. Who is their biggest threat in that conference?
I still think it's the Ravens. I really do. I look, the only thing that the first 6 weeks of the season have proven to me, Ravens-wise, is that they can't beat the Chiefs. Okay, well, them and 30 other teams. The Chiefs are really, really good. And the fact that they got blown out by the Chiefs in that big game, so many people gave up on the Ravens. Oh, they're not that good. They're really good. Their other games, I think they've won every other game by double digits. They just added Ngakoue from the Vikings, so they have even more on defense now. I think they're playing a certain style where instead of, you know, the last couple of years when it was just, let's run Lamar, run. I think this year they came into the season saying, if we have games where we don't need to give him the ball 15 to 18 times, let's save that. Let's save that for when we play the Steelers, for when we play the Chiefs, for when we get into a playoff game. I think the Ravens are just as good as I thought they were before the season when I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I think they could still do that. They just need to play a very, very good game against the Chiefs. They can't fall behind. They're a team that just can't play from behind. It's not their strength. They need to get up on you and kind of lean on you and beat you that way. So I still think the Ravens are there. And then, you know what? There's some other teams. The AFC is loaded. The AFC is really, really good this year. You can make a case for the Steelers and their balance. I think their offense-defense balance is really, really good. I think the Titans are legit. Once you wrap your head around the fact that Ryan Tannehill is probably a top-10 quarterback in this league, and I know that sounds weird and people still don't believe it, but it's true. Ryan Tannehill has now, for a full calendar year, played remarkable football, and I think he's deserving of any praise you can give him. I think he's proven himself. And then, you know, there's other teams. If the Bills could put together a run, I still think they have that in them. I think, you know, a team like we saw the Raiders. The Raiders under Tapa, they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. There's a few teams like that. The Browns, I think, if everything goes right for them one game, they would have the talent to make a run. So AFC is just absolutely loaded. But, yeah, it's the Chiefs. To me, it's the Ravens after them, and everybody else kind of can do it, but a lot of things have to go right.
Steelers and Titans battle of 2-5-0 teams on Sunday. You know, it's funny you mention that about Tannehill, and it's just, you know, we get so married to our first impressions of players sometimes,
right,
that we just – you know, as good as Tannehill has been, it seems like so many of us, and I myself included, where we're just like, I see it, but I don't know. Like, I still remember Miami Dolphin Ryan Tannehill, and I can't get over that.
Right, we're waiting for the clock to strike midnight. I get it. Like, it's weird. It's a strange story. We are used to, hey, you are who you are as a quarterback in the NFL by your third, fourth season. I mean, people are already talking about, you know, Daniel Jones, like he's terrible. Well, it's a few games into his second year. That's how impatient we are with quarterbacks now. And for a guy like Tannehill, this is unprecedented. It's basically the Rich Gannon career path, where he gets into the right situation with the right offensive coach. It sure helps to have Derrick Henry behind him in the backfield, and he just comes alive, and he still has the physical talent to match up with the lessons he learned. You know, and Adam Gase didn't break him, I guess, as he's broken plenty of other players. Ryan Tannehill is still a talented guy who was just stuck with a bad coaching staff, and now he's on a really good team, really good coaching staff, and he's blossoming. Jim Plunkett did this, and Steve Young did this, where you get in your 30s and you just find the right situation, and it all clicks. And I know people don't want to just admit they were wrong or admit that they're seeing somebody legitimately change their career path in front of our eyes, but Ryan Tannehill's good. Like, I'll get the stat a little bit wrong, but I think in his last 14 starts, he has something like 34 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, that's elite. You are a fringe MVP candidate at that point. So we just have to admit it. We have to step back and just say, whatever happened in Miami is just done. And he found the right situation. He's become a top end quarterback in this league, and good for him, because that's really cool. It's really a fun story if you step back and think about it.
At Yahoo Schwab is where you can follow him on Twitter. Frank, always appreciate this. Thank you.
Absolutely appreciate it.